40 years ago this month, America discovered Andy Warhol. His Los Angeles exhibition of 32 paintings of Campbell's soup cans turned the art world upside down and introduced the obscure pop artist to Hollywood, his obsession. The Los Angeles Museum of Contemporary Art, known as MoCA, is hosting a $3 million Warhol retrospective. It won't be shown anywhere else in the country. Once again, art meets commerce in a nationwide Warhol public relations blitz aimed at reviving the post-9/11 tourism economy of Los Angeles. From member station KCRW, Eric Roy reports.
Andy Warhol changed the course of American art. Warhol had been a highly successful commercial artist in New York. He gleefully used simple-seeming fine art images of Brillo pads, movie stars, and even the electric chair to amaze, amuse, and confound people. Warhol was shy, but came to be at the center of an entire New York art scene. He was gay and grew up poor, giving him an outsider's outlook and the freedom to try new things in a stratified art world. He was also a devout Catholic.
But he was specifically Byzantine Catholic rather than Roman Catholic. And in Byzantine Catholic tradition, the idea of an icon is central. So when he chose the images that he chose, they were already iconic, be it a Coca-Cola bottle or Marilyn Monroe.
Los Angeles Times art critic Christopher Knight can wield an acid pen, but he's a fan of the big Warhol show at the LA Museum of Contemporary Art. It starts with Warhol's early drawings, then turns to his breakthrough paintings and silkscreens of the 1960s. Strolling through the gallery, MoCA director Jeremy Strick clearly enjoys being surrounded by masterpieces that were shown in Berlin and London, but weren't supposed to come to LA. Strick spies a Warhol painting from the early 60s that epitomizes the artist's attitude toward art and the art world.
The hero at that moment was Jackson Pollock, one of the great father figures of modern art in America. He'd lay out canvas on the floor and toss painting down and dribble and drabble painting onto the canvas and move around the canvas as if in a dance.
So Warhol laid down a giant canvas on his own floor, but there was no dripping or drabbing, and he eschewed Pollock's use of vivid colors.
Well, Warhol makes this absolutely deadpan image of a dance diagram. Two black and white footprint lines around indicating which way you go. Very funny. And a kind of thumbing his nose at the art establishment of the time.
During the cultural frenzy of the late 60s, Warhol shocked the art world by selling mass-produced silkscreens of pop icons such as Elvis Presley, Elizabeth Taylor, and Jackie Kennedy, often with exaggerated coloring to emphasize their lips, eyes, or other features. LA Times art critic Christopher Knight says shook-up art fans asked themselves if mass-produced images were art or an industrial product, how a painting of a soup can or Coca-Cola bottle was different from an ad in the newspaper, and how fine art was different from commercial art or pop art.
The cultural hierarchy that put painting at the top and a Hollywood movie somewhere down below based on a category was something he wanted to eradicate. Rather than high culture and low culture, there was just culture, and the question became not what's high and what's low, but what's good and what's bad.
Ruth Monsky knows what she likes. In town from Philadelphia, she eyes a comic book-style Warhol painting of Superman using his super breath to blow out a forest fire.
It just shows his humor to me, his sense of humor and his sense of showing what the times were like and how everyone loved comic books and how important they were and the idea of a hero.
In that spirit of fun, the MoCA folks hope the Warhol retrospective will pull in a broader crowd than most art shows, a younger crowd of 20-somethings and 30-somethings, drawn by Warhol's born-again image as a kind of rock star.
I don't know just where I'm going.
And that's not totally off base. The LA Times' Christopher Knight says Warhol adopted the Velvet Underground, a now classic New York pre-punk band, designed a multimedia show for their concerts, and in 1967, graced their first album with a Warhol painting of a banana.
Warhol was interested in movies, advertising, fashion, and glamour. You couldn't possibly leave music out. Lou Reed and the Velvet Underground and the Exploding Plastic Inevitable, which was a sort of light show that went along with the rock and roll music, was part of the party scene in which art ought to be made.
All part of Warhol's collaborative way of making art, replacing the European ideal of the noble artist laboring in solitude. So how many people are coming to the MoCA party? There are some Gen Xers and Gen Y types in the hall. Spokeswoman Catherine Lee says 4,000 fans showed up for the Warhol opening.
Our other numbers have been averaging about 2,000 to 3,000, over 3,000 on some weekends.
Lee says MoCA is on track for a total attendance of 200,000 over the run of the show. But then, Jack Kaiser with the Los Angeles Economic Development Corporation says the Convention and Visitors Bureau is spending a cool million to promote the Warhol retrospective nationwide, with junkets and dinners for travel agents and ads in magazines like Vanity Fair, The New Yorker, and Travel and Leisure.
In high-end publications, the American Express Platinum Card, Titanium Card type of publications.
In a rare move, the city of Los Angeles threw $250,000 of taxpayer money into the promotional kitty, hoping the Warhol show's only U.S. stop would pump $130 million into the local economy. Kaiser says the Visitors Bureau also got 10 top-end hotels to pony up $20,000 each for free VIP tickets for Warhol package deal guests. An economist, Kaiser helped crunch the numbers for the promo campaign, which
haven't come in as quite as strongly as they would hope. The hotels that are part of the package promotion business has frankly been slow.
The high financial hopes were based on a smash hit Vincent van Gogh show at the L.A. County Museum of Art in 1999. Kaiser admits the older art aficionados drawn to van Gogh might not get up and go for Andy Warhol. Still, Kaiser thinks fly-in and drive-in attendance will pick up with July 4th behind us.
I think we'll probably not hit the 130, but hopefully we'll be north of 100 million.
Retrospective Andy Warhol is at the Museum of Contemporary Art in Los Angeles through August 18th. For NPR News, I'm Eric Roy in Los Angeles.